Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz get thoroughly outplayed by the Memphis Grizzlies tonight and fall to the Grizzlies by the final score of 114-104. How did it happen? We'll talk about it next on Postcast. Postcast is brought to you by The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. Stop on by, find out all the local flavors and local vendors that make The Store so special. All right, so this one is a bad loss by the Utah Jazz, but not in the sense of, like, it's a bad loss because of playoff positioning. It's not like a bad loss because, I mean, that is true, too. But, Ron, they just got beat thoroughly. They led 9-8. That was the last time they led. Memphis was just the better team for 48 minutes tonight.
Yeah, they really made the Jazz work tonight. They made the Jazz play a game that they necessarily didn't want to play, meaning they want to shoot threes. And they want to shoot a lot of threes. But they want to get the threes on their terms and not what the Grizzlies was giving to them at that time. 48 three-point shots. Normally, if you get that many threes up, that means you're probably having a pretty good night with your offense. That wasn't necessarily the case tonight with the Jazz.
The Jazz took their first 11 shots of the night from three. They only took 8 shots at the rim in the entire first half. They took 16 in the second half, so they got a little bit better with that. They were 1 of 10 on mid-range shots tonight, so don't tell me that they took too many threes. The problem is they couldn't get to the rim. Why couldn't they get to the rim?
Well, they couldn't get to the rim because they wasn't breaking the paint. I'm not so sure I am sure because I just thought that guard line, Dick Conley and Bradley, kept the Jazz from breaking the paint. Up until Joe Ingles was the one that was able to get it done. Otherwise, the Jazz did not get a chance to break the paint and break the defense down. How many lobs did they have for Rudy or Derek Favors at the rim? And they just took the Jazz out of what they normally would like to do. You know, we talk about threes. Yes, they want to shoot a lot of threes, but they want to get those threes on their terms and not what the Grizzlies made them take.
The rim is golden. The rim is the first spot you want to be. And they just took away the rim. The Jazz only ended up getting, you know, 30. I guess the Jazz got 34% of their shots at the rim by the end of the night, which is actually not terrible, but the Jazz are a little higher, and that's a little below league average. But they took it away from the Jazz early in the game. On the other side, the really stunning part of this game is that the Jazz, the number three defensive team in the league, if you believe cleaning the glass, the number one defensive team in the league, against a team that's 29th offensively since the All-Star break, since the trade deadline, 30th for the season, Jazz could never stop them. They torched the Jazz defense tonight.
Yeah, and the guard line had a lot to do with that. Then Valanciunas, you know, he's just, I really like him. I like his game. I think he can play bully ball. He has pretty good footwork, and he has great size. I really like the way he plays, and they just got away with everything they wanted to get away with tonight. It wasn't like the Jazz defense was that great. They ended up giving up 51% from the field there for the Grizzlies, and then they shoot 41% from the three-point line. That's a pretty good night.
They are not a good three-point shooting team. They're 28th in the league at 33%, but tonight they hit on 9 of 22. Their offensive rating tonight was a 120. Their offensive rating for the season is usually about a 104. I mean, they had one of their great offensive nights against a super defensive team, and they just had these settling forces. And I'll give, you know, this hurts me, but the Valanciunas post-up, whenever the Jazz made a run, they could go to that. They had Ivan Rabb pick and roll just torched us, and Mike Conley just had a fabulous night.
Well, it's hard to stop him from getting where he wants to go. He's so good going left, and he's great going towards right there as well. We saw him shoot a ton of little right floaters there. But as a whole and as a team, they were much quicker, I thought, than the Jazz players. They're much quicker to the basketball tonight. Gave the impression that the Jazz have been on the road for a long time and kind of tired and a little slow getting to the ball.
But that shouldn't be true.
That was not the case.
So how Donovan puts up mammoth night tonight with 38 points. The offensive rating by the end of the night is going to be, I think, okay. But so far this year, when Ricky Rubio has not played, Donovan puts up huge numbers. But the offense is not as good. So Donovan tonight has this massive game, but he doesn't have an assist in the fourth quarter. Nobody else comes along for the ride. How much did they miss a point guard tonight?
They missed Rubio. And because, again, we've talked about this many, many times on how skillful he is as a point guard and the things that he does as a point guard Donovan cannot do right now. And then you look at the numbers that Rubio has had against the Memphis Grizzlies, and surprisingly, they've been very, very good. Another point guard, another player at that position would have really helped the Jazz tonight. That would have forced the Joe Ingles want to help Quinn Snyder to the point where he didn't have to play Joe Ingles at that position as much as he did tonight.
Well, the Jazz tried a lot of different things tonight. They played Grayson Allen for 4 minutes, pulled him, played Seth Alosha and Crowder together to cover up for some of those minutes, which they hadn't done all year till tonight. None of them seemed to work, and they milked Kyle Korver for another 31-minute night. I got to be honest. I know you say he's 37. He's fine. It's a little disturbing to me that we are rolling Kyle Korver out for 30-plus minutes every night, Ron.
I know he works very, very hard at staying ready and staying in shape, but, you know, you're absolutely right. It's probably a 20, 21, 22-minute a game ball player.
He was averaging right 21 minutes a game in the previous 10 games. In March, he's now averaging 30.
Yeah, that's probably maybe about 10 minutes too many.
It's a little, I mean, it's a sign of how badly the Jazz need him right now. I'm not criticizing using him, but 31 tonight, 25 against New Orleans, 28 against New Orleans, 35 against Milwaukee, 22 against Denver. It's a little bit of a sign of the injuries and everything else. Without Dante, hopefully he gets back to practicing this week and comes back, that the Jazz are short of that. So the Jazz fall tonight to Memphis, and for the first time all season long, we take a look at the standings backwards and suddenly realize that with this loss, the Jazz now at 37 and 28 on the season, the San Antonio Spurs are a half game behind, as are the LA Clippers, and the Jazz need, instead of looking forward, have to feel a little pressure coming from behind. Sacramento is luckily 4.5 games back for the night spot.
In Oklahoma City coming up next.
OKC on Monday. Tickets are available. Have a great night. Thank you very much.